Morning. My name is Michael McCusker. Today is the last day of April. So I begin today's program with my annual salute to the merry month of May, which I wrote many, many May days ago for my once upon a time radical rag, the North Coast Times Eagle. May Day, a time for rebellion, a call for change, a call for help. May Day, the ancient celebration of spring, the festival of rebirth. May Day is celebrated all over the world, in every culture and kitchen. For many, it is Labor Day, in honor of the anonymous billions who break their backs or wear out their nerve for their daily bread. It is the symbol of seeding the earth in hope of a good harvest to ease the dreadful hunger that stalks the human race. May Day is also a day of revolution, a charge against history that demands sweeping changes among the world's societies. This claim usually originates from compassion and the perception that there is no excuse for anyone to go hungry, be without shelter, or denied adequate health and medical care. It is the demand for freedom and respect of all the world's people. The world situation perpetually eludes optimists and idealists. The balance of wealth and distribution of resources is dismally inequitable, which intensifies the disparity between rich and poor. Millions are out of work, their lives ruined by poverty. Millions more die from famine and epidemics. Oppression and tyranny infect the world's governments. World leaders move pitilessly against their own peoples and their neighbors. Police and soldiers shoot into crowds. Nuclear obliteration remains probable. The millennium is an X-ray of our history, which lies behind us like an immense junkyard that seems cluttered with artifacts of no use to us anymore. We try to escape history as if by accelerating past we are Teflon'd. But history brought us to where we are and made us who we are. A true calendar of the human experience would discard bipolar dogmata and account for at least 1,000 millennia in a straight line from cave and claw. We have built a global greenhouse and we dwell within. We have pummeled and plundered our home planet as if it offered an inexhaustible feast without charge or cleanup. But the consequences of our careless and excessive indulgence are converging approximate with our disregard and denial. Our probable proximity to extinction is not from any single cause or danger or combination of them, but because we seem helpless to undo the damage or change direction. Our paradox is that our bountiful civilization is based on processes that threaten to obliterate it. Yet optimism persists. Perhaps because in even the worst of times, our predecessors always raised a maypole for themselves and their children to dance around. Perhaps in especially the worst times, it is necessary to hope. And now, something I wrote for my defunct newspaper. Community Radio, the mouth of the Columbia, with a couple of quotes. The first by Joseph Stevenson, the first program director. KMUN was never meant to be musical wallpaper. KMUN continues to stimulate and exasperate and excite and irritate, to give ourselves a place to express ourselves and allow others to do the same. And from an anonymous listener of KMUN. KMUN is a gift, a jewel, a miracle. I love you. Broadcast from the Tillicum House near the Astoria Riverfront. KMUN reaches north into Washington and south and east along the Oregon coast and into the coastal mountains. KMUN operates through a subscription economy and is plugged into the world via satellite programming. Coast Community Radio is expensive and controversial and is not paid for by the usual advertisements for the banal and botulistic. KMUN depends primarily upon revenues provided by listeners and functions as a nonprofit entity. KMUN offers just about everything a radio station can attempt to do and operates daily on the cultural edge where mega media fears to follow. It broadcasts an eclectic smorgasbord of imaginative, provocative, exotic, and occasionally dreadful programming. It is seldom bland or boring. KMUN, like most public or eccentric radio stations, is at the far left of the FM dial. The left side of the dial has for years been casual, even libertine, similar to the early years of computer internets when they were wild and free before commercial competition began coveting the wide open cyberspaces. The battleground is nothing less than worldwide domination of infotainment fought over by huge, ambitious commercial media cartels. Profits promise to be as astronomical as the competition for the money is fierce and merciless. No place for compassion or even sensibility. Only relentless combat in a corporate world war that will destroy the media village to rule it. KMUN is obviously small fry, a mouse underneath the feet of rampaging rhinoceri. Yet the large consequence trickles down to the least considered. Masking blatant greed with hypocritical ideological rubric, commercial media moguls attack public radio and television as liberal, socialist, and, my God, elitists, a rather insoluble mix. If it were up to the Federal Communications Commission, Paul Harvey and Mantovani would be the standards of radio broadcasting. Sex and shock radio in particular convulse the FCC into apocalyptic frenzy, and the commission is not especially fond of the First Amendment, regarding it as too liberal and libertine. It is unfortunate that many people agree with the FCC. They seem to feel that there is already too much liberty in America Incorporated, that it disrupts the sacred American dream of everlasting purchasing power and blessed consumption, and that it espouses bizarre ideas and equality, esoteric lifestyles that threaten to bewitch, bother, and bewilder them. Commercial radio is, of course, no problem. It does not wish to disturb or offend anybody, but instead projects a boundless land of Oz and Harriet, easily attained with master charge. A few chilling commercials exemplify the dismal wasteland on the AM and upper end of the FM dial, advertising motels in which no one is surprised, or radio stations that say the same thing about their programming. Nothing new, imaginative, or provocative. Just the same old twaddle about adolescent love and tears and car crashes to ensure perpetual cranial remission and pimply midlife orgasms. Rather than hands-on radio, the commercial stations reduce their listeners to consumers and treat them as empty-headed children, amuck in toy stores. Controversy, original ideas and experimental broadcasting are anathema to commercial radio, which depends instead upon innocuous pablum focused on a primordial mental range to hype the unnecessary and the indigestible. The endless saturation of high-pitched patter put out by commercial media sugarcoats the brain. The inane music and schlock squeezed grudgingly in between insipid commercials is hardly memorable enough to interfere with the dense airwave of consumer capitalism. The pervasive influence of advertising is much greater than the more ballyhooed TV violence or shock radio. Listeners and viewers are prodded several times an hour to purchase and consume a bewildering variety of products that purport to satisfy every craving or longing, every passion and desire. Advertising blends into a general perception of life, no longer separate pitches to purchase individual products, but instead a miasmal cultural warp, an unconscious assumption of life as advertised, overtakes the sense of life as it really is, attempting to mold and define whoever is within range of its brain-dead contagion. Commercial media is allied with the political and religious right in its wish to pamper the American brain as a willful child and de-snapize its thought waves while cleansing it of reason and maturity. Public and listener-sponsored media such as KMUN intend the opposite, devoted to stretching and amplifying the American brain. This is anathema to commercial media, whose only purpose is to sell products. Corporate capitalism in league with political and religious ultra-conservatism shuns diversity, though the contradiction between sensual materialism and ecumenical tyranny might ultimately be disharmonious to the alliance. Public broadcasting does not intend to remanufacture its listeners and viewers. Cradle-to-grave consumerism is neither its means nor its ends. Instead, its attempts to counter the trend of perpetual adolescence with appeals to thought and intellect are serious and varied and shaped to adult responsibility in an increasingly complex and corrupt democracy. American society undervalues endeavors that do not seek profit. The bottom line of America is the bottom line. From childhood, most Americans are taught that money and its purchase power are society's vitality and the only true pursuit of happiness. Yet, there are among the busy, self-interested population many who wish for generous community interaction and equity rather than couch potato apathy and home shopping. Their voices seem lost on the floor of the national stock market and are at present shoved aside. KMUN reflects a few of those voices. A small radio station at the bottom of the FM dial in a far-off corner of the nation. But it is here, on the air, where incredible varieties of ideas incubate and are sounded. Big money broadcasts for big bucks. Public radio scrounges for loose change to stay on the air. Community radio stations like KMUN are always looking for a dollar so they can broadcast. It is a listener-sponsored station that depends on its funding, primarily from listeners, which is why its listeners are subjected a couple of times a year to promotions, pitches, pleas, and whines for new and old members to pledge cash. Also puts on fundraising benefits with local and traveling musicians and performers. The line of communication is tenuous and expensive. Listeners argue about the cost and value of satellite menus as well as the local venue. But that is what community radio is all about. Undaunted by mega media and the self-interested cynicism that underlies our bottom line society. Think universally, act locally. A majority begins with one. What a person does, reads, listens to, and thinks about form the character and ideas necessary, not only for a personally gratifying life, but one that assists in alleviating the poverty or oppression of other lives. Perhaps that is too heavy a burden and too extravagant a promise to place upon a radio station like KMUN. Yet it is a voice that not only attempts to reflect the community, but also to inform it, to present ideas, thoughts, and opinions that commercial media finds unprofitable and thus shuns as if they were diseases. Ironically, despite outrageous claims by corporate mega media that it alone represents democracy and the First Amendment, a small public radio station like KMUN depends upon true democracy to survive, and it does survive because ordinary citizens keep it alive. Radio waves beam out beyond Earth into galactic space. Humanity's reputation might well rest on which signal reaches other sentient life first. Rush Limbaugh, Donald Trump, and Fox Network, or KMUN, gutsy and freewheeling, radio free Columbia Pacific. This is Michael McCusker. Joanne Rideout is today's engineer of this program. And now, as epilogue. Departing April is always a busy month. Annually, the bridge between seasons of cold and warmth. And not only is April KMUN's birthday. This year, 2026, April commemorates the 251st anniversary of Concord and Lexington, two violent initiations of the American Revolution in 1775. And, of course, the legendary midnight ride of Paul Revere, shouting through the night the immortal warning, "The British are coming." And April 12th has been the 250th birthday of Astoria, the oldest city in the American West. And as a historic footnote, April 30th, the day before Glorious May Day, marks 51 years since the Vietnam War ingloriously ended for the USA in favor of its homegrown revolutionaries. Radio is voice, and my voice is crackling. I'll just leave it at that.
You've been listening to A Story Told on KMUN, featuring Michael McCusker, journalist, activist, former firefighter, and Vietnam veteran. Michael has been sharing essays and poetry on A Story Told since 1987. For 30 years, he published the North Coast Times-Eagle newspaper out of his home in Astoria, Oregon. Michael currently shares his work and the works of other authors from his home on the Central Oregon coast. Join us here next week for A Story Told.